After you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have authority in your life. And the devil can't just come on you and just destroy you if he wants to. No, no. No, no, don't give him glory.
There is an enemy of your soul, but be of good cheer. God has given you the ability to overcome every attack. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland today as they show you how to walk in victory. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer and we get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We open our hearts and minds to receive revelation from heaven, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to the third chapter of the book of Galatians, where we began yesterday, talking about the wall of separation between the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, and the curse that's in this world. Religion and just doing religious things will not activate the blessing of the Lord. To just go about everyday life doing what everybody else does, saying what everybody else says, and then when disaster comes, then you go to God, oh God, help, 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 help. Well, you know, sometimes the answer is just no. No, the problem was you were not walking in the blessing to start with. It was there, but it's activated by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith, listen to this now. Listen very carefully. Faith connects, I'm talking about in the spirit. All of these things happen first in the spiritual world. The spirit world governs all the world of the natural. And if you don't know what's going on in the world of the spirit, and you just live according to the dictates of how you feel, what it looks like, what everybody else says, what they're doing, then you're going to be connected to that world. And you'll get their results. I don't care if you're born again, go to heaven when you die. You don't have to live in hell right here on this earth just because you don't know what to do, because right. It is in the Word.
Yes.
Now, faith connects to the spirit of faith. Fear connects to the spirit of fear. Now, who is the spirit of fear? Now, some people think, well, you know, now fear is a good thing. Sometimes, no, it isn't. It's hell born, and it isn't nothing good about it. If it were not so, God would not have said so many times over and over and over and over and over and over and then over and over and then over and over and over and over. Fear not. I command you to fear not.
It's a command.
Don't do it. But if you do, you will connect with the spirit of fear, who is the spirit of the curse.
The spirit of the curse. That's
We've not been given the spirit of fear.
No.
Isn't that what the scripture says?
What the scripture says.
When you got born again, you did not receive the spirit of fear again to bondage.
But of power, of love, and a sound mind.
And a sound mind. A sound mind is a word-controlled mind, not a worry-controlled mind. The Bible said Jesus went to the cross. Let's turn over there. Second chapter of the book of Hebrews. And then we'll go back to the book of Galatians, but we're going to follow the Holy Ghost here in what he says. Now listen to this. This is part of the shedding of Jesus' blood as the sacrificial line, that's the sacrificial Lamb of God that separated us from the sin of the world, or separated us from the law of sin and death.
Yeah.
He drew the line between us and them. Mm-hmm. And I've heard people say this, Gloria. Well, you know, the devil can't cross that bloodline. He can if you operate in fear and you don't activate the bloodline.
If there's no bloodline, you just think there is.
Yeah, or you just,
you
know.
It's not automatic.
It's not automatic. It has to be activated by fear. That we live by faith.
The bloodline is
now, look at this. In the second chapter, what'd you say?
It's automated by our faith.
Yeah, faith activates it. Fear activates. Faith activates. And it's your choice. God is not going to do it for you. You have the. You're not producing fear in your spirit any longer. You were when before you were born again.
But you could yield to fear.
If you keep speaking it, thinking it, saying it, acting on it, you can feed it into your mind. And if your mind is controlling everything you do, then you're going to be controlled by fear. You can keep doing that until you feed fear down into your spirit, and it will choke off the Word of God. The Bible says the fear of things coming on the earth caused men to die. It chokes the Word, and it becomes unfruitful. So it's a very dangerous thing.
Deadly
thing. But now look here. We don't have to be afraid of fear. Look in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. His body was flesh and blood, just like yours is, like mine is. So that through death he might destroy. That word destroy is English translation of a word that means to totally, completely paralyze, to incapacitate,
yes,
and make absolutely helpless.
The Amplified says, to bring to naught and make of no effect.
None effect. None.
That's right.
And that's what you want. You don't want any effect of him that had the power of death. Satan doesn't have the power of death anymore. Jesus took it away from him. We have been... Remember, we read this yesterday in the 8th chapter of Romans. For the law of the Spirit of life. Who is that? That's the spirit of faith. We, having the same spirit of faith, believed and have said. Spirit of faith. Same spirit of faith. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, we have been made free from the law of sin and death. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What law? The law of sin and death. The curse that came on the earth through sin and death by sin, and came on all mankind, all animals, all plant life, this whole planet. The Bible says the entire creation is moaning and groaning and travailing under it, looking for a manifestation of the sons of God. Somebody with the blessing,
amen,
do something.
Yes.
Ooh.
That's good.
Hallelujah. I mean, that just come right out of the Spirit of God.
Praise God.
I mean, his heart is crying for it. That's what's destroying the planet, not global warming. It's not coming out of exhaust pipes. It's coming out of fear of human beings that tear up the spiritual world, and sin that will come to the place where finally the earth will break under the weight and the travail of it. And when it does, you have a disaster that'll kill a lot of people. Now, look at this. To paralyze, bring to naught him that had the power of death. Now, Gloria, where does the Bible say the power of death is now? The power and authority of death is in the tongue of a believer. The devil doesn't have it anymore. The tongue of a believer opens the door either to the spirit of life or the spirit of death. Neither one of them going to just come on you. After you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have authority in your life. And the devil can't just come on you and just destroy you if he wants to. No, don't give him glory. Don't give him authority. Well, I wouldn't want to say I was healed all that love. The devil might hear me and challenge me. Come on. No. God is not going to. The devil can't and God won't, because he has given it to you by authority and decree. And so he has put it in your hands, put the word in your hands, put the Holy Ghost available to you. Amen. The power of the name of Jesus. Now, look here. To destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now look. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now look. Fear of death makes you subject to bondage, which is the result of death. So Jesus broke the power of it and delivered us, who all of our lives were subject to bondage because of fear of death. Now, the fear of death is the ultimate fear under which all fear comes. Well, the first death that recorded in the Bible was a murder. So, fear of people. Fear of what man can, all timidity, shyness. Brother Copeland, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to bring it up in the workplace because they might kick me out. Well, come on. So what's the problem? Well, if I lose this job, my goodness, I'll lose my house and my car. See there, you're trapped in the curse. You're trapped in this federalized economy. You're trapped in some ism somewhere. Communism, socialism, capitalism. No. None of that. Should be controlling you.
That's right.
You're not in an ism. You are in the kingdom of God.
Glory to God.
And you ought to be controlling the very atmosphere around you, so that I don't care where you are, he's able to make all grace abound towards you. We'll get into all grace tomorrow, God willing. That's where we're going, unless he has some other track to do first. Make all grace abound towards you, that you
always having
all sufficiency in all things may be abundantly generous to all good works, abounding to all good works.
That means you got plenty.
Yeah, and he didn't mention any of the isms. Well, now it won't work in that ism or this ism or this ism. No. You'll have to find a place where there's not anybody. No. Right in the middle of this world, you are free from the law of sin and death. Now, fear of these things is what activated. Let's go over again to the book of Exodus and let's read that for a moment. We'll find out what God said about this in Exodus chapter 8, and this is when God told Moses, he said, you go tell him if he doesn't let my people go, there are going to be swarms of flies. And if you look that up and go to your concordance and so forth, do some study on the word flies. I'm convinced that the reason the word flies was used here to express what was being said is because Satan is the father of flies, the Beelzebub. Now, the thing that was talked about here was swarms of blood-sucking beasts. Most translations translate it wild beast, blood-sucking things. It just all over everything. Couldn't get away from them. They're just in your hair all over the place. Swarms of them. And you couldn't take a step without stepping on one of them. It was just a
curse,
yeah. A miserable thing. We talked about yesterday, God doesn't have to make these things come. They're already here. All he has to do is withdraw what? The blessing. Now, he said, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. Now, look over here in the 9th chapter of Exodus. The hand of the Lord is upon your cattle, your horses, the asses, camels, oxen, and sheep, and a grievous murrain, a terrible, terrible sickness that just come on and destroy the cattle. Verse 4, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and nothing will die of all that is in belongs to the children of Israel. Why? The blessing. Now, let's make sure we know what we're talking about here. Let's go over to the book of Job. Now, what we're talking about right now is the reason the book of Job is in the Bible. Because this pulls the curtain back when Satan, he who had the power of death, was still in the place that Adam had given him before Jesus had taken him down and removed it from him. Now, however, the seed of Abraham had the blessing of the Lord by covenant. And that's, we talked about it yesterday from the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. First 14 verses is the blessing of Abraham. And then from verse 15 on is the curse that is there, that when you step out of what God said and you stop doing things and saying things and thinking things that he said, do, say, and think, and act on his word, the word of your deliverance, by faith in God, then you've shut the door on God's influence to come in there and sever between you and the flu, between you and bankruptcy, between you and sickness and disease, the curse, all the rest of that stuff. Or just put it short, the law of sin and death. Now, the reason you see this in Job, that they just pull, the God just pulled the curtain back and there was a situation here. The verse chapter, this man whose name was Job was upright and one that feared or highly reverenced God. He wasn't afraid of God. He was in covenant with God. And he eschewed evil. He despised it. He wanted nothing to do with it. And he was a very wealthy man. In fact, he was the richest man in the East. Now, come over here in when the devil came up before God, Satan said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. Well, why does he go to and fro in the earth, Gloria? The word tells us, seeking those whom he may destroy. He was after Job's influence and his money because he was the richest man in the East. People respected him. They listened to what he said. And he reported to them from God. Now, I want you to see what he said. Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge, a wall of separation around him, a redemptive wall? Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now that shows you what Satan's biggest problem was this wall of blessing. On one side of that wall was the blessing. On the other side of that wall was the curse. Now, what was that dividing line? Well, he recognized that it was the blessing of the Lord. It was the same blessing that he saw on Adam, and he tried to take it away from him, but except when he got it, it turned to a curse. So he wanted their blessing. So there's a wall there. There was a wall between the children of Israel, the blessing, the blessed seed of Abraham, and the release of that curse. Now, Egypt had not seen much of that curse because Israel, the blessing of the Lord, was in the land. And as long as they remembered Joseph and the people of Israel were worshiping God, the blessing was intact. But once the heel of Pharaoh came down on them, all this other stuff started happening. I mean, all kinds of cursed stuff was there. And God said, I'm going to show you what life is like without me. And he just removed his protection. And man, I'm telling you, every kind of ugly thing you can think of happened in abundance right there in their face. But when Moses would sacrifice before the Lord and blood was shed, this covenant sacrifice meant, if God said, man should die, but by my grace, I'll take the blood of an animal instead of man. Now you kill that animal and you do covenant between me and you.
Shed blood.
And you stand on that. Man, you stand before God and you stand in front of that sickness, in front of that disease and say, you don't come on me. There's a line between me and you and you're not going to cross it. But without faith, you're just standing up there saying, oh, I hope the blood works. Oh, I plead the blood. No. You're doing that because you're afraid it's going to happen. Now, this is what happened to Job. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go over here and see if that was, let's look in the third chapter. Well, no, we have to read this first. He said right up here, now notice, it was so when the days of their feastings were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings, not a burnt offering, but burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Now, what is it Satan said would happen if disaster came and was manifest? He said, he'll curse God. He'll curse you to your face, he said to God. So he had to put that in Job's mind, and he began to entertain it, and it produced fear. And he said, he did it. It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God. Thus did Job continually, over.
He became obsessed with it.
He did. Yeah. Why? Because he was so fearful. And it says in 3:25, the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came.
Notice
what he said. He said, I worried about it. I was troubled over it. I sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed. I sacrificed, but it came anyway. What happened? He was going through motion, but fear release connected to the spirit of fear and drew the very curse he was afraid of in and tore down the blessing wall. Glory and I are out of time. We'll be back in just a moment.
Success. Thrive. Grow. Increase. To prosper. Are you ready for a complete financial breakthrough? The key to being a part of God's financial system is to do your part. Step out in faith and receive what God has for you. It's our prayer that you experience true prosperity like never before, spirit, soul, and body. To accomplish this, we've created one of the most in-depth Bible-based resources Kenneth Copeland Ministries has ever made available on this subject. Introducing Lifeline's newest title, Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Complete Financial Breakthrough. Be prepared to fully engage with all the materials. Write in your workbook, speak the scriptures, pray the prayers, watch the videos, listen to the music, and take time to really absorb the teachings. take a step of faith towards your financial breakthrough today. Order your copy of Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Complete Financial Breakthrough by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, now available for just $15. For faster processing, order online at kcm.org. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. This new product is a lifeline practical tool for your everyday needs. Order yours today.
Now, poverty, debt, bondage to a system of economy, the economics of the world, all of that is under that curse. And there's a line drawn there, but if you're living on the other of it, when it goes down, you go down with it. Now, how do you break through that? Well, I'm going to tell you something. We're right in the middle of this thing, and you really ain't got time to start at the very beginning, so let us help you. This is your 10-day spiritual action plan for complete financial breakthrough. Break out of that and get on the blessing side of that line. It will shock you how effective it is, how quick God will break you out of debt. Praise the Lord. Well, I just don't see how. That's a problem. You don't see. But it's all here. You begin to see by faith. Praise God. So get your hands on this. There's two CDs in there, one DVD, a workbook, all these different things. If you'll follow the plan, it'll have you on your way out of there in 10 days, and you have something to help you change your way of thinking, change your way of speaking, and get over in the blessing side of the thing. And then, just like those flies just bounced off of the land of Goshen, they'll bounce of you, and you won't have to be involved in all that curse. Praise God. Meetings, listen, Word Explosion Conference 2009 with Major Al Downing. Praise God, Fayetteville, North Carolina. And get to minister to our troops down there, praise the Lord. And it's not just a soldiers' meeting. You can come and be a part of it. Then Washington, D.C., November the 12th through the 14th, that's always a dynamite meeting.
That's one of the best.
We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or to order a copy of today's product online, visit our website at kcm.org. There you'll find a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are sending their family to help you. Come to the Copeland Family Meetings August 27th through 29th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and December 3rd through 5th in Orlando, Florida. Generations of powerful ministry will share God's Word to bolster your faith. Come be refreshed, renewed, and healed. Don't miss the Copeland Family Meetings August 27th through 29th and December 3rd through 5th. Admission is free. For more information, go to kcm.org.